Welcome to Wild Disabled. My name is Simon Sansom, and today I have got the extremely successful former rugby player Matt Hampson. Hello.
How you doing, Laura?
Yeah, not so bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad at all.
Awesome. Now, in Leicester, you are a Leicester ledge. However, outside of Leicester, you're well known, but probably not that well known. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But in Leicester, in Leicestershire, you and through the rugby community, you are known as the go-to guy. You are very well respected in the rugby community all across the country. Every England player, every Wasps player, whoever, has come to see you and help you with your Matt Hampson Foundation. That right?
Yeah, I'm in a very sort of privileged situation where the rugby community fraternity have supported me since day one of my accident, and the family have just been there and always wanted to support me in with all my endeavours and my my life in general, really.
Cool. So I'm guessing this date means a lot to you. 15th of March 2005.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us what happened.
Not my sort of fondest memories. I was playing for England in the 21s. We were training down at Franklin's Gardens, and it was a Tuesday before Friday. We just played Scotland in the Six Nations Championships. We went into live scrimmaging, and I hit the scrum. The scrum collapsed. So I basically took the weight of both packs onto the back of my neck, and I said I can't feel my arms and legs, and then I was resuscitated on the pitch by the referee.
Tony
Spreadbury, the famous ref. And he resuscitated me on the pitch, and then I was carted away off to Northampton General, and then I went on to Stoke Mandeville's. A day that sort of changed my life forever.
Well, I can see that, because obviously we'll take some pictures and we'll put it on social media later. Yeah. But you are in a very big automatic wheelchair, you've got an oxygen thing going into your neck.
Yeah.
You are paralysed from the neck down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it turned your life upside down overnight, I think is fair to say.
Yeah.
You went from a fully active, future prospect England player, full squad, to someone who can't walk and, didn't know if you were going to live 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair to say. Yeah, it was.
You must have shat yourself.
Yeah, one minute being a professional sportsman, and next lying in a hospital bed, not knowing how I was going to live, but also not knowing if I'd ever walk again or breathe again for myself. So yeah it was a tough time. Surreal time as well.
What was going through your mind? I mean, was there any sense of occasion when you thinking, do I want to carry on? Did that ever occur to you?
No, never had that thought through in my mind.
Good.
I've always wanted to live life to the full, and I think I'm in this situation. I've been dealt a bad blow, but crack on.
Yeah,
we've only got X amount of time on this planet. You might as well enjoy it. And I think my life's comes with its ups and downs, highs and lows, and whatever. But I think everybody's like that in life, and just because I'm in this situation, I don't think I've got an excuse to feel sorry for myself or any pity for myself. Really.
That's what I actually admire about you, because I've actually followed your story since your injury, because I'm a big rugby fan, always have been. And when I first met you, and I've told you this a number of times, is I was a complete wanker because I was so impressed.
You're allowed to swear?
Yes, absolutely. It's a podcast, you can say whatever you like.
Okay.
It's not a PG, don't worry about that. Yeah, I was a complete wanker, and because I didn't know what to say to you, because I've seen your story and the things you've done, and while I think this is what happened to me in 2014, I lost all sensation from the waist down, and now I've got two sets of friends, and I love them both. But you've got your friends who are pre-injury, who are your mates you have a laugh with, go down the pub. And then you've got the people who you meet afterwards, which is someone like me, who sees you on a different approach, who hasn't met the Matt Hampson before the injury. So I've got two sets of friends, who are one's after post-injury and one before injury.
Yeah.
And they treat me completely differently. And I'm guessing that's a similar situation, what's happened with you.
I think so, yeah. It's a weird one, really, because my friends, before my accident, have always been really, really supportive of me.
Mm.
And I speak to a lot of guys who are in our situation, and a lot of their friends go, and they don't have the same friends, same group of friends, people can't deal with it. But I've been very fortunate to have amazing friends who've continued to support me in everything that I do, and still take the mickey out of me, and still still feel like I'm the same old Hambo. Really.
Oh, I'll happily take the piss out of you. Don't worry about that.
Good.
Now, one thing I which is completely different to you. Now, I'm to me is I'm still a bit independent. I've got a mobility scooter, so I can get around and I can drive. However, you've got two carers with you 24 hours a day. We've actually got one carer in the room now. Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
Riley.
Hello, Riley. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
So you're never left alone, are you?
No.
Not for 5 minutes.
No. Which, yeah, it makes it tricky. In some ways, I'm very lucky that I'm a people person. The fact that I like being around people. I like socialising.
Yeah.
Because I've always been like, and so don't get me wrong, sometimes I do want a bit of time to myself. But most of the time, I like people being around and having a bit of banter. And how I look at it is, I'm a new team. You know, we try to support each other, really. I'm not always upbeat. I'm a miserable git as well, and I have to put up with that. But that's just the way it is, I'm afraid. And that's what
you're human, I think, is the easiest thing to say. Superhuman, but human. Matt Hampson Foundation.
Yeah.
Now I want you to plug this as much as possible.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The Matt Hampson Foundation was founded after your injury.
Yeah.
Okay? For people who don't know what it is, I tell you what, you're Matt Hampson. You explain what the Matt Hampson Foundation is.
Okay, so the origins of my foundation, it all started since my accident, really. I was very fortunate, like I said before, to have amazing support from the rugby fraternity. So I had a trust fund set up for myself to raise money for myself that I could lead a good and adequate life in this situation. And then I was in a situation where I wanted to keep the momentum going and keep building upon my legacy and my life, really, and start up a foundation to help other people.
Well, and I think it's safe to say it's a multi-million pound charity now, isn't it? It's made tens of millions.
Yeah, I wouldn't say tens of millions. I wish we had. we've made millions. Yeah, we're sitting in the Get Busy Living Centre at the moment.
I was going to mention that we're in the Get Busy Living Centre in Melton Mowbray. It's a two-story building. And it's absolutely fantastic. And it's got a gym. It has got a hanging out area downstairs. It's a fully adapted building as well.
Yeah.
So you've got hoists. You've got transfer assistance. You've got people here to help you manage it, and anyone. Really, anyone can come here, can't they?
Not anyone. Obviously, you have to fit within the criteria of the foundation. But yeah, we never want to turn somebody away, even if it's just to give a bit of advice and just from our own experiences and just say, look, life does get better. It's difficult, probably at the moment, if you've been seriously injured through sport, but life will get better. And I think you have to make life what it is, and try and just make that transition between leaving hospital and moving home that little bit easier, and try and find a niche for people to move on their lives.
You've just come back from the Tigers. You were there this morning.
Yeah.
Before the interview started, you said you'd just gone down to see the lads, basically to get free food.
Yeah, it was like a free feed. I think it's really important for me to support the guys, because I think they're obviously going through a transitional period at the moment. It's been a really tough season.
We're getting slaughtered at every match.
We're not every match. I think we were actually talking at the training ground and saying that teams come to Wapa Road and he's still got that aura about it of winning at Welford Road is a massive deal to teams.
Yeah.
So every game's a cup final for Tigers, and they have to be on the metal. They have to play week in, week out, and they have to play bloody hard and show what Tigers are all about. And I think I think we've been struggling. It's been a lot of unfortunate injuries, but also I think we've struggled in general the last few seasons. I think Geordie just needs time to turn things around. I'm sure he will do, because the boys follow him anyway. He's a legend.
There was something surprising you told me a few minutes ago. Is now, I know Tigers are your sponsors for life. They are a charity. You know, they support this, you're their life charity or something along those lines.
We're very fortunate to be Tiny's Chosen Charity, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
As well as numerous other charities as well.
Yeah, okay. So they support you on every occasion, they raise money for you as well.
Yeah.
However, you just said you still got to book tickets and you were really pissed off about that.
No, not at all. No, I'm not pissed off about that because, you need to book tickets. I'm not that precious that I think I deserve to have tickets. Yeah, not at all.
Where's your free season ticket? I mean, come on.
I do get a free season ticket. Yeah. I'm a life member of Leicester Tigers, and it's probably my proudest achievement since my accident. The legends of the club, and I just feel very honoured to have that that role within the club. And I still love going down, seeing the boys and supporting them, and seeing what the club's all about, the day in day out stuff about the club. And it's a frustrating time for a lot of people at the club at the moment. But keep the faith, we'll be there. We're just gonna give Geordie a bit of time with his team. I'm sure we'll get there.
Cool. Also, as well, you were on the Sure Top 100 list of most influential disabled people in the UK.
Yeah.
Was it the first time you've been on there?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Yeah, okay. I think so.
How did you get on that list?
I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't got a clue. It's...
Did they tell you what number you're at? Because the release of the top 10...
I'm probably at number 100. Yeah. So I'm not entirely sure, I don't know.
No? Okay, do you get any like work from that at all? Or do you like... what happens with that? Does anything else... You know, do you get celebrity endorsements or anything? Or...
I don't know. Not as of yet. No. I think it's just an honorary role. Or an honorary... title or whatever you want to call it. It's quite nice.
It's all right, isn't it? You're on the list. Yeah, it says you're influential, you know.
It's awareness for the foundation as
isn't
well.
It is, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This is a very famous picture with you with Prince Harry. What was it like meeting Harry? Because he's not going too well for him at the moment in the royal family. There's an issue with the girls. Now, what was it like meeting him?
I've met him a couple of times. He's always been a really nice, genuine, approachable guy. Very... grounded, very normal, very humble guy. Yeah, just a top guy. Same school year as me as well. So it's it was nice to meet old Hazard. And
is that what you call him, old Hazard?
No.
Oh, you should do.
I don't at all. I'm not good amazing, but he's he's a good bloke. Very nice guy.
Because he's obviously a huge rugby fan, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he loves it. Yeah,
big Wasp fan.
Yeah, well,
closet Wasp fan.
So he's the one.
Yeah.
Now your book Engage,
yeah,
bestseller, won a few awards. Go on, what? So tell us, you can buy for any listeners, okay? Engage is the story of Matt Hanson.
Yeah,
and you can buy it on Amazon. God knows how much it is these days, tenner, whatever it is.
I wish, yeah.
So just go on Amazon, you can buy it and download it. It's an interesting read. I've read a little bit of it, I haven't read it all yet.
Yeah.
You kindly signed it for me with your mouth, because obviously you can't use your hands. Tell us why you wrote the book, tell us what you wanted to tell people, and you know, and how many copies have you sold?
I don't know how many copies I've sold. I'd like to sell more. Buy all good and bad bookshops. Now it's... It seems like a lifetime ago since I wrote the book. My life's changed so much since then. So I think there might be a sequel, but...
There you are. Exclusive. Book number two from Matt Hanson.
I don't know about that, but...
Living life to the full.
I think... I think everybody's got a book within them. Mm. If it gets published or not, that's a different story. But what I'm saying is that I think it's really... So it's a great process to go through, getting down on paper, and it's a form of counselling for me, really.
Yeah.
I'm all my family and friends.
Obviously, you can't write it because you can't move your hands. So I'm guessing you had like a ghostwriter to do it for you.
Paul Gimmis wrote the book. He's a journalist for the Irish Independent. Writing for the Sunday Times. I think he just got it right. He just completely got the tone and mood right of how I wanted to express my life and what it was all about, really. It was a tough one to write.
I don't doubt it for a second.
An emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
But yeah, coming through that, I think it was a great process for me to go through. Got a lot of things straight in my head,
yeah.
And made me feel a lot better about
it's your kind of way of writing it down and having a diary and trying to get it out there.
So it's like a diary,
so it gets all the emotions out there, what you want to say that you haven't sort of said before.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool, okay. For this interview, people know that I do a lot of research, okay?
Yeah.
And I watch a lot of videos. One of the interesting ones I came across, which there is a reason I'm talking about this, is you on Embarrassing Bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that quite surprised me, because, yes, I've met you before, but I didn't quite know what your personality is. But, no, obviously, you're very down to earth, you know? You're very easygoing, you can talk, and nothing's off. I mean, for anyone with a disability, nothing is off the record. Because we've got to talk about these things. You know, I catheterise, I've got incontinence pads. You have a tube that goes up your bum. I've seen the video, you can't hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the other day, actually 2 days ago, I did a video online talking about incontinence pads, how the ones on the NHS are absolutely terrible. So, I mean, how do you cope with talking about personal issues like that?
It's part of my life, I'm afraid. Yeah. I just think it's important for people to be aware of disabled people. It's not that you just can't walk.
Mm.
It's everything else that comes along with it.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to highlight those issues in a way and make people aware of other products on the market.
Mm.
Sort of more dignified way of, you know, what everybody has to do, go to the toilet.
Yeah. I mean, I went to Nidex last year at Birmingham NEC, which I don't know if you go there at all. It's the biggest disability conference in Europe. And everyone was surrounded by the cars, you know. Yeah. There's a lot of cars, there's a lot of transport. And then you get the odd one or two holidays and things like that.
Yeah.
But the one that everyone was ignoring, which I thought would be the most interesting, was the catheter stand. They've designed like 10 new catheters to help people be more independent.
Yeah.
But nobody wanted to talk about it in public. Even where you've got people going around in wheelchairs, you've got people who there can't walk and can't. And they've got that's my emergency bag when I go to the toilet. You know, everyone's carrying one because they need it. And yet nobody was going to the stand. And one of the issues of Wild Disabled is to raise issues that people need to talk about these things. People need to realise that, you know, people need to catheterise, people using incontinence pads, people need assistance getting washed and dressed. And we're just trying to highlight that issue that the embarrassment needs to go, I think, is the easiest way to say it.
Yeah, I think the embarrassment needs to go, but also I think as well that it's just something you do and crack on with it. It's not an embarrassing issue. It only needs to be embarrassing if you make it and highlight it and make it an issue.
Yeah. There was one comment on the video on the embarrassing bodies thing saying that you prefer to have a tube up your arse and a finger, which I completely understand because I've had a finger up my arse and it's really not nice. Even though I've got no sensation down there, the dignity goes quite quickly.
Yeah.
And while me and you are disabled, obviously to a different extent, having a finger up the bum is not nice under any occasion. I don't think it's nice for the person either.
I don't know. Don't knock it till you try it.
I have. It's horrible. So, for regular listeners to Wild Disabled, we have a couple of sections, and they are what not to say to a person with disabilities.
Right. Well,
in your case, it's quadriplegia. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, tetra.
But the thing is, I thought I'm going to have a bit of trouble with this one. And the reason for it is, if we've interviewed Rosie Jones, and she looks pissed because she's got cerebral palsy, she walks like a drunk person.
Yeah.
If she had a bottle of wine in the hand, she'll be arrested. Okay? Because she doesn't walk straight at all. Which is quite amusing when you're walking down the street with her, because they'll think you're a bunch of drunks. You know, which is interesting. But I'm guessing majority of people who you've met over the years have been polite to you because you're Matt Hampson, because everyone knows what's happened to you, rather than taking the piss out of your disability and saying, ha, catch the rugby ball.
Or
something along those lines.
I'm still the brunt of a lot of people's jokes in my friend's circles and whatever.
Okay, well, let's see how we get on. Has anyone ever asked you, can I have a go?
Can I have a go?
In your wheelchair.
Oh, right, I thought you meant something else. Can I have a go in a wheelchair? Yeah, Riley has had a go, actually.
Has he? Where did you go? Were you like hanging off a hoist or something?
No, I just sat in a deck chair. No, not really. No, I was just in bed.
You were in bed? You just ran off with it and stuff?
Yeah,
just
I just ran off to some circuits around my house.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Was it just to see what it was like, or was it just because you just wanted to go?
I don't know, right? Just because.
Just because. Just because you were bored.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Now, again, I'm not too sure if people ask you this. What happened to you?
What happened to me?
Yeah. Do you get that a lot?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Do you explain it fully, or do you explain saying, you know, I got bit by a shark?
It really depends what sort of mood I am, how many beers I've had. Most of the time I'll just say to people, yeah, I was involved with a rugby scrummer. I don't mind people asking me.
No? Right.
Do you know what? A lot of people ask me, they actually look at me differently.
Yeah.
And then it explains why I'm in this situation.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people's perceptions are that I was born like this.
Yeah. So that's what because obviously if you see, that's what you think as well. Yeah, most people think that I'm in there because I've been there since I was born. I mean, most people think I'm in there because I'm fat. I'm not a small chap. I think I'm fat and lazy, so that's why I've got a scooter. Not that I can't feel my feet, doesn't make any difference to them whatsoever. But I'm not 100% how my injury happened. So I either got injured playing rugby and slipped a disc, yeah, and then it deteriorated from there. Or I did gardening, so I'm not 100% sure. Because
right.
I did one very quickly after the other.
Right.
So I have a bit of fun depending on what mood I'm in. I say, I got injured playing rugby. Or, you know, I got bit by a shark. Or someone threw a brick at my back. Whichever one takes the mood. Right, people ask how fast you can go in your wheelchair.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Do people try and race you?
Sometimes. Yeah?
Right. What's up, Riley?
My answer is always fast enough.
Yeah? How fast does it actually go?
It goes 12 kilometres per hour, something like that.
That's pretty quick. Yeah, mine is 5.
It's the acceleration. I'm good off the mark.
So. Yeah. And how long does the battery last?
I don't know. Yeah.
About 3 days.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, crikey. Mine lasts about half an hour.
Depending on...
That's why I've got two on there. Rubbish.
Just depends.
I'll swap you. Actually, yours looks a lot more comfortable than mine. I can still stand. I can still weight bear. I can't walk. I can transfer.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, it's a miracle, you can stand. I'm like, yeah. Because often not every people don't realise that every disability is different.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, this one I get quite often, you know, asked quite a lot. Believe it or not, I get asked, do I know Matt Hampson? The reason for it, because I'm disabled, they go, oh, Matt Hampson's disabled, do you know him?
Yeah, we all know each other, don't we?
In this case, I do. Which is quite funny. But no, I mean, it's quite true. It's like, I get asked, do you know Tammy Gray Thompson? Again, I do. But no, it's just, I'm getting, you know. Or it's like, my next door neighbour Ken is disabled. Do you know him? And I'm just wondering, how often do you get that?
Do I know a certain disabled person?
No. When people come up to you and say, yeah. Oh, this person's disabled, do you know them?
No, not really. I don't get that often. No.
No? Okay, that's right. I get that quite a lot.
Yeah.
When I'm out and about. That's why I said it's, you know, do you know Matt Hampson? He's disabled too.
Like, yeah, we're all the same.
Yeah. It's good to see you out and about.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you tell them to fit off?
Old people.
Yeah.
I don't because I think it works both ways.
Mm.
So I think it's really important for disabled people to show able-bodied people that you are going out and about, you are portraying a positive message, you are getting on with life, and just because you're in a wheelchair doesn't mean that you can't. And I think it's the onus is on the disabled person as well as the able-bodied person. I think it works both ways. So I don't think you've got an excuse in the wheelchair. Yeah. Not now.
No.
I think life is what you make of it, and it is bloody difficult in a lot of ways, but you still haven't got an excuse to be miserable and tell people to piss off left, right and centre or whatever. I think you've got to go out there and portray a positive message.
Yeah.
Portray people.
I portray a positive message. I get it a lot, obviously, of course, and I went to a Christmas fete last week. I left. And the reason for it is it's a charity event, you know. You go around, they do it in the church, they've got little stalls. And as you said, old people. So I went to one. One person came up to me and goes, "Oh, you can't get to the stall. Here, have some jam. It's £2 a pot." And I went, "Oh, it's good to see you out and about." And then, okay, thanks. I don't really want the jam, but thank you very much anyway. Went to the next stall. I haven't even moved 5 yards. And the next stall is like, "Oh, we've got some wine here for you. It's good to see you out and about." And then you go to the next stall and they've got, they've knitted like their own hats and got scarves and gloves. "Oh, you need to wrap up warm being disabled. It's good to see you out and about." I went, "I'm leaving." I think it depends on which environment you go to.
I think it does. Serves you up for going to church faith. I think it's really important to portray a positive message and talk to people. People are saying, you just say hello, "How you doing? My name's whatever," and introduce yourself.
Absolutely, yeah.
Don't feel like you should deserve any special or preferential treatment just because you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I don't think that. I'll try and use it now and again to my advantage. You know, if I'm going out and if I want a nice table, saying, "I can't access that one. Yeah. Can I take that one over there?"
Yeah.
Best one I had, Rosie Jones, who I interviewed. She said, right, so she says, if you dribble a bit on the tube or the track or the bus, you know, because you've got cerebral palsy, if you dribble a bit, they give you a chair. So she's a comedian, she can get away with it. You're too good looking to be disabled.
Right, who told you that?
No, have you had that?
Have I?
Yeah.
What can I say?
Riley in the corner is absolutely embarrassing himself just here. He's just hiding his face.
I was going to say, who said that?
People do get this. I've not made this up. People
too
get this.
Good looking to be disabled.
Yeah.
No, I've never got
never had that.
I
didn't is that dribbly or?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think so. I thought
it was
a date.
No, okay, we'll move on to the next one then. People come up to you and ask you a personal question. Like, is it, you know, whether it could be, how did you go to the tournament? Or, you know, what awfully what happened to you? Or, you know, can you actually walk away?
Sometimes people do, very rarely.
Yeah.
But I quite admire that. I think people are quite brave to do that.
Yeah.
No, I quite admire that, and rather people do that.
Good. Yeah, awesome. Right. Hey, speed racer. You might want to slow down, you might get a ticket.
Yeah, all the time. there is comments like that, yeah.
Quick fire questions around Matt Hansen.
Right.
These might get you into trouble.
Right, okay.
We'll see. Right, some of them are really easy, some of them are not, okay. Favourite all-time rugby player?
Darren Garforth.
The Tigers player.
Do you know him?
I do. We'll explain why we're laughing later. Favourite celebrity?
Because
you've met a lot. You know, we're talking...
Favourite I've met?
Yeah. Well, you can do met or not met. Because you've met hundreds, come on. You know, I've seen, you know, you're if you Google Matt Hampton and you pictures, you're standing with everyone in the world.
Quite like Denise Lewis, she was not.
Denise Lewis? Yeah. Now, this is an interesting one because he's actually sitting downstairs. I've called it Deeks or Dawes. Lewis Deacon or Matt Dawson?
What, who I like?
Yeah, who's your favourite?
Oh, Lewis Deacon. Lewis Shoulders. Easy.
You know, Matt Dawson's going to listen to this, don't you?
Really good. I don't care.
Okay.
No, Lewis Deacon is a Tigers mongrel. He's my sort of person.
Okay. Now, this is an interesting one because this is the person who opened the centre with you. So, Dawes or Tindall?
Mike Tindall, yeah.
Mike Tindall. Oh, now, Lewis is downstairs. You know he's going to listen to this as well, don't you? He's not going to work for you now. Every time I come to the...
I still prefer Deeks and Tindall because Deeks is a Tigers boy, isn't it? So yeah. I have to be biased.
England or the Tigers?
Tigers,
yeah. Delalio or Johnson?
Johnson. I'd have to ask that one.
Well, you know, I've got to ask questions. Who is the craziest person you've supported from the Get Busy Living Centre?
Craziest?
Yeah.
A guy called Gareth Rees.
Yeah.
He's a paralysed from the neck down, and he did a skydive.
Okay.
In New Zealand, yeah. And he's absolutely mental. Basically, yeah. Gaffer taped his legs and arms together and then did a skydive.
Yeah, because the reason I've asked that is I've seen people who on motorbikes, I've seen people in wheelchairs, table tennis, people in table tennis. And they've all got the same attitude as you, but they just crack on with it. You know, wheelchair basketball, wheelchair rugby. And it's some of these sports are really dangerous, and obviously if you're injured,
yeah.
It's a lot more dangerous as well.
Well, yeah, but you've got nothing to lose. Or what's the worst yeah. that can happen? Oh, it's already happened.
Favourite film? Now, the reason I say this...
You know what I'm going to say.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, it's Shawshank.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Because this place is called Get Busy Living.
Yeah, Get Busy Living.
Absolutely.
Get Busy Living or Get Busy Dying.
Absolutely. How are you not knighted?
How am I not knighted? I can't get down on one knee. What a weird question to ask. No, I don't. It's
supposed to be weird.
Don't really
That's all I did.
Don't really know how to answer.
Okay, we'll get you nominated for an MBE.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And finally, favourite artist?
Music artist. Probably 50 Cent, something like that.
50 Cent?
Yeah, I love 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Bit of Dre, bit of Stormzy.
So basically rap. I would not take you as a, you know...
Why?
I don't know, just... You don't.
I'm down with the kids.
I was expecting, like, you too. Like,
no, I love Oasis as well. Oasis,
yeah.
I listen to everything.
Cool,
so.
Excellent. Yeah. Right, Matt Hampson, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking part in Wild Disabled.
No worries at all.
And buy his book, it's on Amazon. It's called Engage by Matt Hampson. You know, donate to the Get Busy Living Centre. Go online, Matt Hampson Foundation, and donate 10, 20 quid. It's an awesome organisation who helps people with disabilities. If they've been injured through sport or any other social activity. Awesome. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Cheers.
Cheers.